are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And then, of course, our television audience right here from Pretoria. We welcome you, the capital of South Africa, right there in America, throughout Africa and in Europe. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today in Jesus' name. And then our beautiful Minister of Sport is with us again, Minister Tokozile. We love you. You look beautiful in this Women's Month. Come on. She's a daughter of the house. She's on fire for God. And then the head of financial intelligence advocate, Kole. She's a member of our church that's moved from Bloemfontein to Johannesburg. We love you. Woman of influence, both of you. We praise God for you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a big hand clap for all the women. We don't just celebrate women in Women's Month. We celebrate these beautiful women every day. It is a woman's world. Whoever sang that song, it's a man's world. That's old and redundant. Take your seat this morning. Thank you. So good to have all of you here this morning on the long weekend. Keep inviting your world. I was talking to you about service changes. For the moment, there are no changes. So we are going to do exactly what we are doing. You all look beautiful. You all look happy. You all look healthy. You all look like you are winners. All of you look like you heaven bound, and if you're not, you will be by the end of the service. It looks like God is on your side. If you're in town tonight, don't miss tonight, because I'm going to talk to you about your destiny. But I want to continue this morning before I get in a new series next week on a heart after God. Having a heart after God. And I want us to read in Acts chapter 13, verse 21. The Bible says, afterward, they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave the testimony, saying, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Verse 36 says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. 1 Samuel 13:13-14, the Bible says, Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. I'm sure, just like me, you want the testimony from heaven that you are a man or a woman after the heart of God. I don't just want people to celebrate me down here. I want heaven to celebrate me. Can you say amen this morning? I want to know when I stand before Jesus one day that I have served the will of God in my generation. Mark Twain said the two most important days of your life, number one is the day that you are born, and number two, the day you discover why you were born. I want to talk and continue on David this morning. What is it about David that is so special in the sight of God? David, 66 Bibles or 66 books in the Bible are devoted to the life of David. David, the only other person more spoken of in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Secondly, David. David, who was a shepherd boy, became a giant slayer, became a king. David, who had the testimony, he's a man after God's heart. I want to be a man after God's heart. I don't really care how many people like Facebook, how many people dislike Facebook. I want to know heaven likes what I'm busy with. Can I have a good amen today in this place? Hallelujah. So what was it about David that God loved? We saw last week, number one, that David had a humble heart. Even though he was the greatest king that Israel ever had, he remained small in his own eyes. He had a humble heart. 2 Samuel 7 verse 8 in the Bible says, then King David went in, sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? He never forgot where he came from. Saul forgot, David never forgot. Although he was the greatest king Israel had, he remained a shepherd boy in his eyes. Let's never forget where we come from. Let's remember it's all because of him, and he alone deserves the glory. Can somebody give him a praise here this morning? Come on, in Jesus' name. Secondly, David had a heart of worship. He loved the presence of God. He loved the house of God. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Come on, that person that dragged you here this morning, look at them with a smile and say, I'm so glad you brought me to church this morning. Oh, come on, make my day. Come on, talk a little bit in the church this morning. It's okay. There's no sign that says silence church here this morning. Okay, I was glad. Thank you, Pastor Harry, for bringing me to church. Thank you, my wife, for dragging me out of bed this morning. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. When David brought back the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, he danced before God with all his might, and his wife despised him in her heart, and he said, it was for God, and I will be more undignified than this, and I will stay small in my own eyes. Psalm 42 verse 1, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Psalm 63 verse 1, you, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, not for success, not for wealth, not for fame. My soul thirsts for you. He was a man who loved God. He was a man who walked with God. Number three, David was a man who had a heart of faith. He was a man God could count on. He was a man who stood for God when it mattered. When Goliath came to enslave Israel and make them slaves of the Philistines, David was the one who stood up because he realized his God's reputation was at stake. He stood for God when nobody else would stand for God. Today I want to focus on maybe the most important aspect of David's life. Actually, we just read it. What qualifies David for being a man after the heart of God? We can talk about David that wasn't perfect, David that had flaws and failures and sin, David who committed adultery, David who tried to cover up the adultery by having Uriah killed, plotted murder. And still, the Bible doesn't erase him. Now, I'm not saying go murder somebody, and I'm not saying go commit adultery, but I'm saying when David's sin was exposed, he never blamed Bathsheba for taking a bath. And by the way, she shouldn't have taken a bath because that was the hour that men were on the rooftops meditating. So she knew exactly what she was doing, and David knew exactly what he was doing. When he saw her, he committed adultery, and he really messed up. When his sin was exposed by Nathan the prophet, he repented and he drew back into the presence of God. Even that did not erase him because his heart was toward God. I want to tell you this morning that when you fall or when you fail, don't run from God, run to God. Come on. When you mess up, don't run from God, run to God. He's always going to lift you up. Come on, he's always going to forgive your sin. He's always going to give you a new chance. Come on, somebody that loves the mercy of God, you can praise God that he's a merciful God. Hallelujah. But what is it that the Bible talks about? David had a servant heart. David served. Although he was a king and everybody served him, he never forgot why he was the big businessman, why he was the top dog, why he was the politician, why he was the sports star. He never forgot that although I am a king, I'm here to serve God in my generation. I'm here to serve the will of God in my generation. Acts chapter 13, again, I want to read verse 22. The Bible says, when he removed him, Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So clearly, God is looking for people who will serve his will in their generation before we retire. This last week, one of the closest people I've had in my life, one of the few people that are a spiritual father to me, departed early, Peter Pretorius. I want us just to honor and give the Lord a praise for the legacy and the life of Peter Pretorius. Come on. Who fed over 1 million children every single day, who reached millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, when he went to heaven this last week, there was a glorious homecoming for him. The angels were standing and Jesus was standing because he's a man who lived a full life. He lived for the will of God. Amen. I don't want to get to heaven one day and there are things I never did. Whether I'm a doctor, an architect, a lawyer, an engineer, a teacher, a housewife, I'm also here by God's divine design. I'm alive as an artist. I'm just alive as a businessman. I could have lived in the Middle Ages. Thank God I never did. I'm alive now to serve the will of God in my generation. So this is maybe the most important aspect of David's life. Because every time when the Bible talks about David, a man after God's heart, it qualifies he served God in his generation. He served the will of God. David was a man God knew he could count on. David was a man God had faith in. It's one thing for a man to have faith in God. It's another thing for God to have faith in a man. For God to say, I can count on him. As God said about Abraham, I know Abraham, because he will command his household after me. I'm not going to hide the thing I want to do. I'm not going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah before having a conversation with Abraham. God is looking for men and women that will serve his will in their generation. So David lived for God, and David lived for the will of God. He was a man after God's heart. He served the will of God whilst Joshua or Saul began to build monuments for himself. Became big in his own eyes. He forgot why God appointed him, that he was to be a blessing and not just to be blessed. In Joshua chapter 24, the Bible talks about Joshua, a man who also served the will of God in his generation. In verse 31, the Bible says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. In Judges chapter 2, it talks about a generation that rises after Joshua. A generation, the Bible says in verse 10, who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. How do we know God's work and God's will? Very simply, we walk with him. We draw closer to God. That's why we spoke about David as a man having a heart after God, worshiping God. A heart that wants to please God. A heart that realizes, I'm not here just to grow old, just to invest in a pension fund, just to have children and raise those children and buy a better car and live in a bigger house and invest money in a fund. Although all those things are good, the reality is one day we will leave this earth. David left this earth after he served the will of God. My brother, before he left this earth 3 years ago as a billionaire businessman, months before he left this earth, and I've said this many times, but it's part of a reality that I want to shout out to every businessman. When I talk to business seminars today, I do not talk about prosperity, I talk about purpose. Because prosperity without purpose will lead to abuse. We need to understand God is first a God of purpose, therefore God wants to bring prosperity to people. But prosperity without purpose will leave the world emptier than it's ever been. When he was wrestling, maybe beginning to feel, maybe my time is coming for me to depart. Like Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said to me, Ut, there are so many things I still wanted to do for God. Then I said to him, Vim, you've done so much for the Lord already, but do what you can. Do what you can while you can. You have one life to live and you have to make it count. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. Give the Lord a praise if you're going to make your life count for something. We've heard this again and again. The church is one generation away from failure. We need to understand that this is our watch. That we are the servants of God. Although we are sons and daughters of God, and we are secure in our relationship with God, we go beyond sonship to being servants of God. I think anybody who's ever had a child realizes that when that child is just born, you might as well call every child Jimmy, because all they can do is, my name is Gimme, Gimme, or my name is Jimmy, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. One of the first words that a child learns is mine. This is my salvation. This is my Holy Spirit. This is my blessing. This is my church. This is my parking. This is my seat. So many people still live there in the body of Christ. All they want to hear is about, oh, you are so loved, and yes, you are. And you are so blessed, and yes, you are. And you are so good, and yes, you are. And you are so forgiven, yes, you are. But there comes a time where you have to teach your child, it's not just about you. Like this little boy, we raise him now, and it's all about you. When we get saved in the beginning, it really is all me. I feel so wonderful. I've been forgiven. I'm saved. I'm justified. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven, etc. But then there comes a time where the dad tells the child, now Although you live in this house, you have to pick up your clothes. You have to share in the duties of this house. You also have to wash the dishes. You also have to vacuum your room. You also have to take your clothes and throw it in a washing basket. Come on, many of the young men don't even know what a washing basket looks like. For them, a washing basket is a corner in the room somewhere. No. For them, a washing basket is the whole room. I taught my children since they were born that the best belongs to Dad. When they were small, I wasn't a selfish dad, and they would have an ice cream, I would take the last part of the ice cream. They would eat their food and leave the last of their pudding, because you always keep the best for last. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You keep that final bite, right? And then the dog sits there and the dog wants it, and sometimes I still give to my dog the last, okay? Because those eyes, I just cannot ignore. But I taught my kids, and they said, why? I said, because I want it. Why? Because I want it. I said, David or Chanel or Angelique, I can buy 1,000 more, but I don't want 1,000 others. I want that's on your plate. Why did I do that? To teach them. There comes a time where you don't question. There comes a time that as a child, you don't question the will of your father. You obey the will of your father. Come on. Just like Jesus, who came as a servant, although he's the creator, although he created the heavens and the earth, he came to do the will of his father. He was a Son of God, but a servant of God. And I think in our charismatic world, especially with so much emphasis on certain theological messages, there is a vast lack in the understanding of people of the servanthood that is required in their relationship with Christ. It's like, but Pastor, I don't have to work to earn God's favor. You're right, you have God's favor, and you cannot work for salvation. But we get confused with salvation and responsibility after we have been born again. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been set apart by God. We are highly favored. We're not working for anything. But if God's will is going to be performed in this world, God needs some servants. Like Paul the Apostle, who wrote the gospel of grace, yet he calls himself a bondservant. A bondservant even is more devoted and committed to a normal servant. A bondservant loses total ownership of his life. A bondservant has no will. He lives for the will of his master. I think many people like the message of salvation and not the message of surrender. Surrender requires that you go beyond you to the will of your master, and the will of your master will always take you beyond yourself, like the Good Samaritan. Not just me, my house, my family, my son. I will support every soccer game, every rugby game. My boy, I love my kids the same, but I've taught my children, I'm not just your daddy, I'm a dad to many other people. I can't just sacrifice for you. I have to sacrifice for a generation that have no fathers. Come on, people that have no mothers. Come on, people that have never been hugged. I have to hug them as well. I don't just belong to you. I'm a servant of Christ, not just a father. Can you say amen this morning? You sit with some people, all they can talk about are their children, and that's okay, but not every time, please. It's like dads want to live through their children. Can your kids live their own life? And can you teach your kids just to be servants of Christ as well? Can you teach your children that the universe does not evolve around them? My children had to find it out with a big shock. It's not all about you, Davey. What do you mean, Dad? Because, Davey, you're not 3 years old anymore. You are now 13, David. You are now growing up to 30, David. You can't be carried around anymore, David, and complain and whine because somebody sat on your seat or somebody never greeted you, and people still have to carry you around. How about you beginning to carry other people? How about going from a son and a daughter of God and being secure in that relationship to actually living for the will of your father? Come on, like Paul, who calls himself a bondservant of God, called by the will of God. Come on, if we will live for God's will, we will not look the other side when we see the pain and the suffering in our world. We will get our hands dirty like Jesus instructs us. We will go to the prison. We will encourage the faint and the weak. Come on, we will go lay hands on the sick. We will make a difference in our world because we are the servants of Christ. We are the ambassadors of God. Come on. We are here to make our God more famous. We are here to bring the gospel of Jesus to a dying generation. We are here to be the hope of the world. Somebody shout, I'm a servant of Christ in Jesus' name. I'm talking as a parent, because when your kids are only your children, they do nothing. Somebody has to pick up their clothes. Somebody has to, you know, carry them, make their food. And they'll go eat, a boy especially, and half an hour later, I'm hungry, and he opens the fridge. Anybody ever had that? There's no food. And the whole fridge is full of food. What is he saying? Make me food. Make me. Give me. I say, what's wrong with you? What's that thing? What's that? What do you mean there? What's that? It's a hand, David. And the other side's a hand, David. What's in the drawer? It's a knife, David. Put your hand in the drawer and take the knife out. Open the butter, David. What's that? That's a toaster. Put the toast in, David. But Dad, aren't you going to do it for me? No. You're grown up now. And that's what God needs. David was a man who served the will of God. David was a king. Everybody ran at his beck and call, but David always ran at the beck and call of his God. Come on. He was a servant of God. He never got confused that life was all about him. He remembered that life was all about God and the glory of God to fulfill the promise that God had. As truly as I am God, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Come on. We are called the same as David to serve God's will in our generation and to make Jesus Christ more famous. Can you say amen in Jesus' name? Let's not forget that this is a partnership, God and sons, that we are called co-workers with God, co-laborers with God, that nothing will be done in the earth without a man or a woman saying, yes, sir, without questioning God. Why? You see, Jesus with the disciples, he loved them dearly. He never begged them. He commanded them. I just saw the latest statistics released in America of committed church members. The average member in American church now goes to church 1.7 times a month. And they are the church leading the world with spirituality. Less than 5% of committed Christians give their tithe to their local church. 5%. Because we've gone from a mindset of contributing to a mindset of consumerism. And that spills over into every level of society where people stand, it's give me, give me, give me, give me. And Jesus said, given it will be given. Jesus said, pray and you will receive. Ask and you will receive. Jesus said, you do the possible, then I will do the possible. You take the first step, then I will take the next step. He's waiting for you to grow some legs. Come on. He's waiting for you to get walking. He's waiting for you to get a vision beyond yourself in the name of Jesus. Come on. You find somebody in a hole, dig that person out of that hole, and you will find yourself getting out of your hole. Come on. You want some food, then get what you have and go give it to somebody, and God will increase what you have in your table. Come on. We cannot be a need-driven people. We need to be a blessing-driven people. Look for somebody that's in a worse place than you and go be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Ezekiel 22 verse 30, the Bible says, I sought for a man among them who would make up the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God will not establish his kingdom apart from us. Oh, he could have chosen it, but he've chosen not to. That's why Jesus had to die as a man. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord. He's standing in the presence of God. He's having a holy moment. He's got goosebumps. He's got visions. He's got dreams. He sees the cherubim, the angels flying. He has a spectacular moment in the presence of God. And he has the voice of God. Not like many charismatics that run for a prophecy. But you've got the Word of God. You don't need a prophecy. You've got the Word of God. You don't need a goosebump. You have the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody help me to preach here this morning. All God needs is somebody that says, Lord, here I am. I have it in my heart to feed the poor. Then just start feeding the one person on the side of the road. Just begin to give bread to one person and watch how God will bless that ministry. You be a difference maker. You serve the will of God. The will of God will always lead you to serving people in your generation. Come on, to help people, to make life better for other people, to lead them to Jesus. Come on, and to empower them. That's where God's will take you. No one will get saved without a preacher. People pray, they say, save, save them. God says, I need a preacher. No buildings built themselves. Somebody has to sacrifice. Some businessman, like that building we're building in Johannesburg, there's no money raining out of heaven. I didn't stumble over a heap of money when I came to church this morning. Only way we build that is somebody that decides to sacrificially make an EFT. And Laura says, somebody paid. Last month our bill was 18 million rand. 18 million rand last month to pay towards that. Offerings we received 3 million. Work it out. Minus 15. But God made a way. Nothing happens while people just sit. Sit and soak. Sit and watch. Sit and glow. Sit and think, well, look what the Lord is doing. God is doing it, but God's doing it through somebody. Somebody that is sacrificing. Somebody that will go. Somebody that will go to prison. No prisoner will be comforted without somebody going. No child will be uplifted without a caring hand. Come on. No person will be fed without somebody making them a servant of God in the name of Jesus. No home cell without somebody saying, I'll open my home and I'll be a blessing in the church in the name of Jesus. David served the will of God in his generation. Sometimes we get overawed and we think, well, the pastor is serving the will of God. No, we are all serving the will of God. Wherever God placed you, God has placed you in the body exactly where he wants you. God has given you your career, your sphere of influence, so that you could serve him where he placed you, through the local church, making Jesus more famous. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Bible says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is the highest will of God? In the Old Testament, it was the nation and the kingdom of Israel, which was the type of the church in the New Testament. So the king's responsibility was, number one, to defend Israel, which Saul dismally failed in. And secondly, to expand the kingdom of Israel, which David messed up in 2 Samuel 11. When kings go out to war, David stayed at home. The one time he was not focused on his purpose, he ended up in sin. I'll say it again. People ask me, do you believe in a God of prosperity? I say no. I believe in a God of purpose. I believe in a God of purpose. And because of purpose, prosperity is needed. But prosperity in a businessman without purpose causes that person to become all flaky and abusive. I mean, how many zeros do you want? How many beds do you want? How many cars do you want? Everybody knows if you, and it's nice to have a nice car. I mean, I'm not against that. Because God said in Deuteronomy, I'll give you nice houses, I will give you lands, blah, 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 blah. God, but he says, hey, it's not about that. It's that you may worship me. I brought you out to worship me. I'll take care of the houses, the cars, and the blah, 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 blah. So the issue is not the car. But the issue is if you slave for a quality of life and you do not serve the purpose of God, that's where things go wrong. It's like people say, I don't have time, Pastor. What do you mean you don't have time? No, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. I'm waiting for a breakthrough, and the breakthrough never comes. Haggai, because people run after something that Solomon calls vanity. It doesn't mean don't be a hard worker. I'm talking about that tonight. We have to learn from the lowest and the highest, the ant that's a hard worker, that is disciplined. So God doesn't say don't have a career and don't have a vision and don't have a goal and don't be success orientated and motivated and driven to achieve and to be the top dog and to be the head. God placed all of that in you. But he says in all of that, don't seek that. Seek my kingdom. So David's responsibility was to defend the kingdom. That's why when Goliath came, it was to enslave Israel, and David stood up. God is looking for people today that will defend his kingdom. It doesn't mean we attack other religions. It means we will stand for God's kingdom. When the chips are down, we will be there. When an offering is required, we will be there. When a crusade is happening, we will be there. We will do our part, come on, to defend and expand God's kingdom. We're not going to see the kingdom of God dismantled. We're not going to see South Africa become a post-Christian nation in the name of Jesus. We are going to stand for the kingdom of God. We are going to stand for Jesus Christ. We're not going to hide our light like under a bushel. Come on. We're not going to be swept under a rug or under a carpet. We are going to be the salt and the light where God has placed us. Can I have a radical loud praise in this place just to upset the devil this morning in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. We're not going to Bible bash people, but we are not going to be silenced. When they begin to pass laws and say, you may not say the name Jesus, I'm going to say the name Jesus a million times. I'm going to say the name of Jesus wherever I go. I'll go pray in a restaurant in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. That name will not be silenced in this nation. Say amen this morning in Jesus' name. Because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We need to lift up that name. South Africa, more than ever, can you say amen? Somebody give the name of Jesus a big praise in this place. Hallelujah. And when we get to heaven, CRC will not be there, man. The people that got touched through CRC and got saved and met Jesus, it will be there. But the DA will not be there. The ANC will not be there. The EFF will not be there. Bosov will not be there. You know, Coca-Cola will not be there. There's no other name that's going to feature in heaven. And we're down here, we want to get apologetic. We want to get silenced. We want to be neutralized. And it's sad because 70-something percent of our country is so-called Christian. Don't you understand that the devil has an agenda? Huh? We sang the song, not by might nor by power, but that still requires somebody to stand. Somebody to stand. Like the early church who said, we will not be silenced. We honor you, we respect you, but respect what we stand for. We will not be silenced. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. We will not be silent. We will not back down. We will not back down. Hallelujah. Feel the presence of God in this place. We are not here for ourselves, firstly. God so loved the world that He gave. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was in Jesus, who humbled Himself, became obedient to death, and took upon Himself the form of a servant. Jesus, the Creator, God, became a servant. He walked this earth and He said, I never came to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father. Paul the Apostle had the revelation of the body of Christ, had the revelation of Christ in you. He says, what things were gained to me, I've counted them as rubbish, that I may know Him and the purpose of God. Ephesians chapter 1, he says, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may understand what is the hope of His calling. That you're not just saved to be saved, to sit and soak. You are saved to serve the will of God, and that's not a heavy. That is a life of surrender, a life of consecration. A life of giving your talents, your gifts, yourself back to God every single day of your life. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus talks about a king, a nobleman that goes into a far country, and before he goes, he calls his servants together and he gives them different minors. The word minor is gifts, talents, abilities. Verse 10 of chapter 19 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Then Jesus tells the story or the parable. And after a while, he comes to reckon with the servants. And the one who received one talent came back. He said, your minor, I've gained 5 or 10 others. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we want to hear one day? Because you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over 10 cities. The other one comes back. He says, your one minor has gained 5 minors. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You will be ruler over 5 cities. Then one comes back. He says, master, yes, your minor. I'm still here. I haven't lost myself, but I haven't gained anything. And he calls him a wicked and a lazy servant. He said, why did you not put my money in the bank so at least I could gain interest? What am I saying to you? That God has placed us here to be fruitful and to multiply? That we are here not just to live for ourselves. And let me tell you something, that if your life is just focused on yourself, you will never experience the joy of Christ, because there is no greater joy than giving. And we're not talking about a religious sacrifice. We talk about the willingness to sacrifice because you've experienced the love, the sacrificial love of a Savior who gave Himself to you when you least deserved it. That's what we're talking about. Loving God back the way God loved you. David, after he served the will of God, fell asleep. Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've run the race, I've kept the faith. I have finished. Like Peter Pretorius can say, oh, we are all saddened by the sudden departure of Peter. But he's run the race. I said to his wife, I spoke to her twice afterwards for long, and I said, he's run his race. Those that were raised up has now run their race. Everybody can't go sit in sackcloth and ashes. We have to run our race now. Because we're caught in this human body, I know sometimes life can become overwhelming and we think, I need a break, I need a sabbatical. And I've seen people that take a sabbatical and they're more tired after a year because they disconnect from God's grace, which is tied up with the will of God. You don't need a break. You need to walk with Jesus through your valleys, through your storms. Come on. You need to walk with Jesus every day in the difficult times, in the good times. You just need to walk with Jesus. You need to be a worshiper of Jesus. You need to draw closer to God, and God will draw closer to you. Can I have an amen in this place today in Jesus' name? I want to tell you that God loves you. I don't know who my dad is. I'll introduce you to him. He's God. He's your father. You may not know your earthly father, but you were predestined by God. Come on. Hallelujah. You may come out of an unwanted situation, but I want to tell you that you are wanted by God. You are loved by God. You are highly favored by God. You are not inferior. You are not a second-rate citizen because you don't know your mommy or your daddy in the flesh. You were designed by God. You had to be here. You are an eternal spirit. God created you for this very hour in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, if God took a David, a shepherd boy, and he turned him into a king, think what God can do with your life. He can take a nobody and he can turn her into a somebody. He can do something great with your life. You just have to give your life back to Jesus and trust God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He will give you beauty for ashes. He will turn your sorrow into dancing. Come on, weeping in just for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. There's no telling what God can do with a life that is surrendered to Jesus. All you have to do is put your life back in the hands of Jesus and stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at the negatives. Stop focusing on those who are against you. The Bible says if God is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter. You are a winner. You are going over. You are the head. You are not the tail. You will be above. You will not be beneath. You will succeed. You will not fail in the name of Jesus, because God is for you. God is with you. God will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned in Jesus' name. When you go through the waters, you will not drown in the name of Jesus. God Himself will walk with you. God will hit you in behind and before. God has placed His hand upon you for good and not for evil. You are blessed and you cannot be cursed in the name of Jesus. You walk as a man, as a woman of God, and the history books will record what God has done through your life, just like a David. All you have to be is like David and give your heart to Him. And every day of your life, Father, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. May I never forget that it's by your grace and by your design. And when things increase, the Bible says, set not your heart on them. When fame increases, when influence increases, when wealth increases. He didn't say if, he said when, because when you walk with me, things are going to increase, not decrease. Your blessing is going to increase, your influence is going to increase, your wealth is going to increase, your favor is going to increase, your company is going to increase, your ministry is going to increase, everything that you touch is going to increase in Jesus' name. God says one thing. He says, when it increases, do not set your heart on them.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you today. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me. I believe with all my heart that you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive today. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a true child of God. I surrender all to you today. Thank you for a new beginning and for healing my heart. I'm your child. I'm home. In Jesus' name, I'm born again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.